Welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Matawan, New Jersey. Your host Sturch and Gooch, of course, and today is a special day. It's a Feel Good Friday. Why not? We have special guest Scoop Espo, future host of the Cross Court Cast. Scoop, what up, dog?
What's up, man?
How you feeling today, bro?
I'm doing good.
Scoop a loop. Bring your hat.
Dave said I wasn't welcome on camera because I do not look like Sauna Guy.
Got camera ready.
Right. You don't look like Sauna Guy, so you don't get camera. That's just
very, very special Victory Friday.
It is Victory Friday.
7-1, baby.
Stop us if you heard this before, but the Packers won a football game. Like, Jesus Christ, does it ever end, bro? Does it ever end?
It does. You know, and it ends.
I'm done with it. I'm over it.
It typically ends in the NFC Championship. So, yes, it does end.
It does, in fact.
We could turn that corner this year, though.
There is a lot to talk about today besides the Packers. We will be getting into that game, obviously. We will make our Week 8 picks. We got a whole lot of stuff going on before, but I will start with this because it's probably the most exciting thing of all sports happening right now. And we're talking about the New York Basketball Knicks.
Okay? Bing bong.
And that is unbelievable. First of all, the Chicago Bulls came in last night just puffing their chest out, undefeated. And here come my New York Knickerbockers. And let me tell you something. It is a relief to see this team the way they're constructed right now. As far as my biggest takeaway is that Julius Randle no longer has to be like focal point number 1, 2, and 3.
So I'm going
to
play devil's advocate
here. We go.
And I'm going to be Jimmy.
I was so excited for a second.
My biggest takeaway was the fact that I thought that game was in the bag, right? I thought that it was going to be just garbage time down the stretch. So I always bet these live game unders when it's kind of like I think the game is kind of over.
Right.
And I texted you and I say, Dave, I fucking cashed on the under. You know, you're like, it's going to hit.
Because I wasn't watching
yet. And then
I
was like, yeah, it should hit. And then I went back and looked 2 minutes after I had just checked, and it was like a fucking tie score. I'm like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, an epic collapse by the Knicks. They were up 10, literally all game. 10 or more, all game long.
So, yeah, my takeaway is the Jimmy Palumbo thing where they suck.
Well, it's funny because Jimmy Palumbo was also texting me. I was at a WrestlePro event in Union. I wanted to check out some of the future stars of WrestlePro, and I get texts like just names, Randall. You know, just naming the roster up and down. I'm like, what? I don't know what you're referring to. I'm not watching the game yet. But I did get home to catch the fourth quarter, caught the second half of the Packer game. Big night in sports. But the Knicks, I do raise this question to one Scoop Espo, future host of the Cross Court Cast, which is going to cover all basketball with a little bit of a Knicks flavor to it. Obviously, right? I mean, like, this is an all sports show with a little bit of a Cowboy Packer kick to it. So that's where I go with this. How good and how special can this Knicks team be, bro? Like, this is right now. I mean, well, don't look now, but the Knicks are the one seed. But go ahead, like,
don't look now, but the Packers are the one seed.
Don't look now, the Cowboys are a one seed.
Well, they're not a one seed, but they're
in their division.
In their division. Scoop. Yeah, give me the Knicks gist here.
No, so the Knicks, I mean, it's a better team than last year. They have way more depth than last year. Like I think you said, Dave, what Randle doesn't need to be is he doesn't need to be the guy
anymore.
The first 45 minutes of the game was great. The last three, not so good, which Randle was
12-0 run by the Bulls at the end. I was like, what is happening?
Knicks didn't score in the last 3 minutes.
And Randle missing two free throws.
Yeah,
I was like, wait a minute.
Thank God for that. I appreciate you, Julius. Thank you for that $120 hit.
Wait, would that have put it over, would it?
No, but then it would have put me in a position to a last second shot by the Bulls would have definitely put it over.
But they did have a last second shot.
Yeah, I understand. But at that point, I had 210.5. Do the math. A three right there, I would still would have covered by a half a point.
Okay.
So Randle had a bad game. You know, 3 for 11, not great. A lot of turnovers, but he needs to realize that he has other players on his team that could score.
Well, that's the good thing.
Kemba.
When your star goes 3 for 11,
RJ Barrett played great.
Pull out a win, that's good for the Knicks.
Right. Barrett's playing great defense, too.
And at the
Tom Thibodeau team is like a defensive mindset. Like those guys ball. They play defense, and it's great to see.
And at the end, he said he idolized DeRozan. He's a Toronto guy. He said, I've been watching this since I was a kid. I knew he was going to pop up from there, and he got in his face, and it was good defense. So
I saw somebody trying to give him nicknames, and I don't know if this is his actual nickname.
Who nicknames?
Barrett. our jail Barrett because he's locked down. I was like,
I don't like that at all. That's no good.
It's a reach. It's a reach.
It's okay. Let's take it easy.
Yeah, let's take it easy.
You know what? I'll stick with RJ Barrett. How about that? How about we go with RJ Barrett until
RJ
until he's established.
I have a question.
Sure. Dave,
and I would inject my Packers into this conversation or this question, but we already know whose start is more impressive out of them and the Cowboys and the Knicks. But whose start, whose 4-1/5-1 start to you is more impressive, the Cowboys or the Knicks?
The Knicks.
You know the Packers are more
the Knicks, and I'll say this for this reason. The Cowboys, with the team constructed, they're supposed to win games. Zeke, Lamb, Cooper, Dak, all these guys on offense, they're supposed to score points. Their defense, yes, that has been like the shock of all this. But yeah, the most impressive start is the Knicks start because of what they have. Like, they had Julius Randle, you knew that. When they signed Kemba Walker, they were all like, oh, it's Kemba, he's washed. It's old, you know, he's not the same guy, right? And then they have other role players, and I think that the Knicks are shocking a couple people. Yes, there is, what is it now, 77 games left, you know what I mean? So, like, I know there's a lot of games left, and it's very early in the season for the Knicks. But look, don't look now, but I'm happy. I'm happy right now. I mean, my Knicks are good. My Cowboys are good. My Rangers are young. I mean, they're not, you know, whatever. We'll get into hockey as we go. You did mention.
We will
for a second, because you did mention that the Florida Panthers are 7-0. I mean, that's hard to do in the NHL. Where are you leaving? Get your ass back here, bro. You crazy?
So just to finish off the Knicks really quick.
Please.
So they do. They do travel to New Orleans on Saturday. That no Zion, should be a win. Should be 5-1.
And we said that against the Orlando Magic,
should
too.
Should be a win.
Should be a win.
So New Orleans money line.
Yes, 100%. Pound the money line in New Orleans. But, so the Knicks are starting off 4-1. We will touch on this real quick before we get into the Packers. Obviously, the World Series is still happening. Game 3 is tonight. Series is tied at 1. We said it yesterday that the Atlanta Braves definitely got mission accomplished as far as splitting 2 in Houston. Gooch, where are you going tonight? They're in Atlanta. How are you feeling? How are you feeling about game 3?
Honestly, looking, Scoop, who's the starters again in this game?
Yeah.
Who are they?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you know? What is it?
They did. He had them pulled up before. Luis Garcia had one job to be the producer of the show today.
Yeah, which team is on which? Now,
which player pitches which for which? And then I'll decide from there after I Google the ERAs. No, but I think that it's a weird matchup in game 3 with these two pitchers that I've never heard of. I don't know if that's a bad thing because I'm disconnected or they're just starting guys that, you know.
Are these openers to you?
From my understanding is that they have good pitching staffs. How are these guys in the World Series, both teams?
They're bats
in game 3. They're bats. I'm just talking shit. Like I said, I have no idea about any of these starters, so I can't really sit here and make an honest prediction. I'll go with Atlanta because they're the home team, and I hate the Astros.
Fine,
fair.
That's fair. Where I'm going too.
Right?
Don't like the Astros. Atlanta's home. I feel like Atlanta still has the momentum, considering even losing last game. Like when you split on the road. That's just a lot bigger than what people actually give the credit for.
I actually think I have a new idea. It's only going to last maybe throughout the rest of this week, but I'm going to start hitting up the Toast and being like, bro, you got any good tidbits for me on this baseball game? Because
he's a baseball guy, right?
I'm lost a little bit when it comes to the World Series.
Because you're lost in the sauce.
I'm lost in the sauce.
Funny.
It's about to... wait. I actually just fucked up my joke. I'll use it again later.
Okay, good. Better. Hopefully you recover from that one. But yes, we do have some baseball tonight.
Gloves are off.
8:07. It is a feel-good Friday after all. You do have something really funny lined up right after this. I guess we should just bring that up first. And that is, we're gone.
Oh, I forgot.
I forgot the transparent background, but that will be forever memed. Forever memed. And that was the Aaron Rodgers meme, which was obviously...
So,
and Obi doesn't
about
stink, by the way, Jimmy.
Jesus. About me recovering from the last one, clearly I did not, because I made that and I didn't remove the
You're background. On a roll here, Gooch.
So I'm 0 for 2.
0 for?
Down 0-2.
Oh, boy. What's wrong?
Oh, Obi stinks?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I see Jimmy coming doing? In saying Obi wants stink. Bro, Obi is one of those feel-good players this year already.
He went 2 for 2 in you
know
what? Minutes.
No, this is coming from Jimmy Palumbo, who also texted Gooch saying... The game stunk last night. Look, the Packer game.
Do not hijack my moment right now with more Knicks talk, please. Because I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for the Packers talk.
Okay,
I'm
here it comes. Excited. Here it comes. Are you ready?
7-1.
Are you ready?
We're 7-1.
Here's the game.
We got Matt LaFleur with his record-setting night, which we'll get to in a moment. Bro, the game plan was flawless throughout most of the game. There was a couple hiccups, which we'll get to, but running the ball, A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones.
You said yesterday he would be moving some piles.
Bro, I'll say this. That game had some intensity, right? It came out. It had a playoff feel to it, the way both defenses were flying around. The Cardinals' defense is lightning fast, right? What's the best way to beat speed? It's just to run right at it. And I'm happy that LaFleur listened to me. Because I was talking about it on the podcast, and leading up to the game, I was like, Dad, they got to run the ball. Hopefully LaFleur fucking understands what I'm talking about, and he did. So shout out to LaFleur. I was getting to his record-setting night. Does anybody know what Matt LaFleur's record is through 40 games in his NFL coaching career?
Don't tell me. I actually might know this, and I don't know this like because I'm not looking at it. So you said through 40 games, he is ready. Here we go. Ready? 33-7.
He is 33-7.
Holy shit!
You know what
shit.
That is, ladies and gentlemen? That is an NFL record.
Wait a minute. I got it.
Yeah, you got it. 33-7.
Let's go.
He's got two losses. He's 0-2.
You know why I say that? You know why I say that? Because what'd you say?
He's 0-2 in the NFC Championship, though.
But that you talk about regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I said to myself, I'm like, there's no way he's ever lost more than 3 or 4 games in a season. He's only done it for 2 years. Let's add those two together. Bingo, bango. I nailed that one. But yes, record-setting night for Matt LaFleur. But I will say this about this game. Aaron Rodgers obviously comes into this one with nobody to throw to. Me and you are out there running routes, and Scoop is covering, right? So like that's the kind of game plan that they had. There wasn't sexy numbers, but this is where you find out. This is where you separate the good teams from the okay teams, or in Jimmy Palumbo's, the great and this team that stink. The Green Bay Packers, I'm not going to say they did it with less. I'm going to say that this team is more well-rounded than people think. This team is actually winning games and putting up numbers despite not even having a passing game. Because, look, me and you were catching passes last night. They had a couple guys, and I'm like,
they had some
Rodgers was Rodgers, right?
Amari Rodgers
caught a couple balls.
He had a drop.
He did have
a fumble. Saw on that his one. Next.
He but had look, a rough game.
Rough game. Early on, there was miscues. There was a holding. The first two drives were stalled out by a holding call and a drop, and then Tanyan running down the field wide open with his head stuffed way up his ass. I don't know where he was looking for that. But overall, a solid performance. Matt LaFleur called a beautiful game. There was a couple things that I want to talk about, though. We have first and goal on the 3-yard line right after that turnover.
Don't.
And we're pounding the ball down their throats. Literally, they could not stop the run. A.J. Dillon was a bowling ball yesterday. Aaron Jones, another one. He for a little guy, I want to get on his leg workout. That dude.
Little guy? He's an ox.
Aaron Jones?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Dillon.
Yeah, Aaron Jones running real hard yesterday. A lot of contact in the backfield on big plays where they were managing to get 4 yards out of it.
I am so sick, and I told you this when you first walked in. I am so sick of the NFL, or at least the referees. It's not the NFL's fault. The referees, if you uncover a body and he is halfway in the end zone.
Oh, God. Overturn that.
That
there.
Means he scored a touchdown, okay? That's all that means. And that is as clear as day. Bro, first of all, there is a thing in the NFL that you're not even allowed to or supposed to overturn anything unless there's indisputable evidence to do so, right? If you uncover a body that's halfway in the end zone, right? And then you look at the replays and you're like, well, I can't really see. Well, then that's it. You don't have the evidence to turn it over.
That was a joke.
Very big joke.
I was a little bit nervous.
Dak has been ripped 3 times from that.
I was a little bit nervous after that. But even so, bro, we're on the goal line there, and we have A.J. Dillon. He didn't even see the field in that series. Same thing with the.
But he shouldn't, though.
Early.
He shouldn't.
He absolutely shouldn't.
Because Aaron Jones is the guy. That you give the ball. That's like honestly, and I know they're built different, but that's like if Zeke's on the one and you bring in Pollard. Like, that's you're not doing
I
that.
I don't give a fuck about who's the guy or who's not. You know who's the guy when we need a yard? The 250-pound guy. Mm. That's my thing. He's clearly the guy in between the 20s, Aaron Jones, and in most cases, the guy in a goal line situation when you're on the 5 or the 6. But when you're on the 1-yard line, on first down, I'm running the ball 4 times in a row.
4,
my
250-pound
back. No question about it. Yep. There's another thing that I was a little disappointed in, and it's a coaching blunder. This is why I should be a head coach, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It's fourth and
talk to the grass.
It's fourth and a foot, right? Okay. Fourth and a foot. The Packers are going up to the line of scrimmage. There's a little bit of a differential between the play clock and the game clock, right?
Correct.
So the Packers go up to the line. They don't have to run a play, but it's fourth and inches, correct? So they're going up. They're hard counting. Arizona's not jumping on the hard count, right? So clearly they're sitting back, and they're not going to be able to get penetration on a fourth and a foot. They ended up converting after the quarter ended, but at the same time, like, I feel like you're giving away easy first downs like that. You're giving away points by not running the ball when you're on the 3-yard line and first down.
What about bounce. And I understand the timeouts were gone, but what about taking that delay of game? What are you doing there?
Yeah, well, that was another thing. This is a classic case of having no Devontae, having no Lazard, because
the guys couldn't line up.
Right. It happened several times. That's why they had no timeouts to begin with. And then shout out to Rodgers on this one, even though they didn't punch it in, but the field position helped by not actually turning and calling a timeout and being aware that, because that's a personal foul.
It's a 15-yarder.
Unnecessary, whatever it is, unsportsmanlike conduct. Yeah. You lose 15 yards, that would have put us in a worse position.
So he's like, look, we're running out of time.
He turned around.
That is what it is.
He wanted to milk the clock as much as possible.
That brings me up to another really good Rodgers moment. What about him thinking he's getting horse collar?
Oh, God.
Mid-play, like, amazing. Hey, ref!
Amazing, amazing.
Look at this over here. Like, literally falling and looking at the ref. No disregard, like, no regard for anybody that can knock the ball out or anything like that at that moment. He's just, like, looking back. He's like, hey, bro. Like, hello. But obviously, it was not a horse collar. He just felt like it was a horse collar because his jersey got tugged from the back. Yeah. But, dude, Rodgers is that guy, man. I can't believe how good this guy really is. It's like effortless shit, and he's doing it with nobody. Shout out, an unfortunate turn of events for Robert Tonyan. It looks like he's going to be lost for the year.
Yeah, it looked like a non-contact it looked
pretty
ACL
shitty
situation.
Right.
There's a couple more notes that I want to make about the game. Rasul, the guy with the game winner.
Practice squad guy.
How about this? Not only that, is he a practice squad guy. He got cut by the Cardinals on October 6th this season.
That's what I'm saying. He was on the Cardinals practice squad.
Oh.
And then he got signed.
He's a practice squad guy. He was also a practice squad guy for us.
Oh, and then got brought injuries. Up.
And, bro, we found something in this kid.
Do you know?
No doubt about it.
Yeah, let's not get crazy, okay? Because once upon a time, there was a play for Dak Prescott on the 5-yard line. He throws this bullet to Amari Cooper. Rasul Douglas is the one who tipped it. He caught it and touchdown. And the famous shot is Douglas with his hands on his head as Cooper's scoring. That's the same guy.
You know what? There's a new famous shot, and it's him picking that ball off in the end zone. And
or is the famous shot ready for the famous shot? The famous shot is blindfolded AJ Green not knowing what the hell is going on.
Shout out to AJ Green who announced his retirement. And now I'm fully admitting that I stole this from the internet. But I think it was NFL memes _IG. If you want to at least go follow them for the credit.
Yeah. Or you can follow us.
It is a good page. You could also follow us.
Hey.
Yeah. But it said AJ Green, we'd like to formally announce, I'm retiring mid-route in the fourth quarter.
Just like
there was a bunch of memes from last night.
So
that was a great game.
Your analysis of that is that he couldn't hear the RPO call. Correct?
Yeah, I think because it was a road game for the Packers, which really was a home game.
Did you see the post game with Aaron Jones? With all the
crowd was louder for Green Bay's defense than it was for the Cardinals' defense. And I truly believe down there, when you're that close, it's an RPO, especially with Kyler. And at that point, I don't know if it was a run-pass option or he changed the play at the line, but A.J. Green had no idea what was
Somebody going on. Wants something to know about Jair. He's obviously impressed with the containment on Murray. Who is this Gary guy? So there's questions to be answered by the Packers' pulse here.
Rashawn Gary is a third-year player, first-round pick out of Michigan. He was behind the Smith brothers, Preston and Darius, and now he's finally coming into his own. Look for him to get a big hefty contract soon, I hope, because he's
about your boy's tweet?
Oh, Preston Smith. Shout out to Preston Smith for fucking trolling JJ Watt, which was perfect for me.
I mean, do you troll an injured man? Is that okay? Like, do you feel like it's okay?
Yes. First of all, he had that bullet.
Guess what that is, ladies and gentlemen? That's karma.
He had that bullet in the chamber, and it's not his fault that JJ Watt tore his entire upper half. Right? Like, everything is gone on.
They're done. JJ's done for the year. But yeah, I mean, look. Push comes to shove. The Packers are now the one seed in the NFC via, yes, they have an extra win, but this win comes over Arizona. So at the end of the year, when you're wondering who's got that number one seed, if Arizona's in the conversation, which, let's be honest here. Listen to me when I say this, okay? Arizona Cardinals were 7-0. Last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers were 10-0. Right? And everybody was like, holy shit, when are they going to lose? Once the Steelers lost the game, and almost lost to Garrett Gilbert and the Cowboys. Okay, that actually happened. Once they lost the game and started to reel a little bit, then you saw the ultimate exposure when the Browns beat the brakes off of them in the playoffs. The Arizona Cardinals are good. Kyler Murray is good, not great, okay? He showed it last night. Under duress, he is a little bit of a loose cannon, okay? Then he gets messed up at the end. His ankle's all, you know. To me, I know this is going to sound bad, but I don't care. This generation of athlete, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, all these young kids, you know, the young quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, all these younger kid quarterbacks, when they get hurt, I'm putting hurt in quotes, right? If they know the situation is not in their favor 1,000%, I feel like they get very boo-boo and they get very, this injury hurts a little bit more because I screwed up.
You would be having a far different conversation if AJ Green heard the play call and he caught that back shoulder fade for a game winner. Mm. You understand what I'm getting at?
I get it.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean,
I just think that these kids, look, just watch the demeanor of some of these guys.
These kids
when
are struggling.
Things aren't going right for these players, they get very boohoo
they
fast.
Battled.
It started with Cam Newton.
They battled. They battled.
Listen, I know, I'm not taking away what they could do on the field because they are elite quarterbacks. That's why there's only 32 jobs available in the world. You know what I mean? So they're one of the top 32 players in the world. But I feel like the younger generation of players, once things go wrong, they get very like, oh, come on. And then like the ankle hurts a little bit more after the, like that limp is a little more after the game.
Maybe. You know me. I don't like to get into the heads of people when it comes to these things. I think Kyler Murray's tough. He's 5'2".
Back in my day.
5'2", and he's playing in the NFL.
Back in my day, Troy Aikman would get pissed.
I had a good point.
Angry. But
oh no, I remember. I wanted to talk about the this question that this guy asked. I can't see the user, so he didn't sign his name.
No, he did not.
How long is Jair Alexander going to be out? There is really no timeline on his return.
He's technically on the IR, 3-week IR.
Yes, but they're saying he avoided the surgery, so he will be back this season. They're optimistic about that, but I would say that it's probably going to be at least another 4 weeks, isn't great. But
well, you know, look,
get him healthy. Same thing goes for Za'Darius Smith. We need both those guys if we're going to do something down the street.
There is a massive slate of football to get to this week, but it started on Thursday night, and the Packers get the job done. They are now 7-1. They are rolling 7 games in a row. Everybody, honestly, that Saints game is almost an afterthought to me right now. Like, that was just like, I think Rodgers was still on some other island at that point where his head wasn't in it.
When we think about the offseason with the Packers, and
it was
how week one went, the injuries that they've dealt with, you know, I could list all the injuries. It's pretty significant. The offensive line, the defense, now with Devontae in this game.
Mark Grabowski was the one who asked.
I'm very impressed, and I'm not saying this because I'm a Packers fan. 7-1 after the 0-1 start and all the bullshit. Tip my hat.
And there's the tip of the hat. Happy. And tip my hat to me, who took this Packer team on the money line, and I tried to tell you all that yesterday. Gooch picks the Packers every week. He is the Michael Irvin of the show. There's never going to be a time he picks against the Packers. I, from the outsider's point of view, I knew the Packers were going to win this game. That was just, the writing was all over the wall for Aaron Rodgers to do things with less. It's just a story.
Hit that
book
thick
ending.
Thick boy. Money line yesterday.
Yes, I did. It was nice. So let's take a break. When we come back, we have the full slate of NFL games. We're going to pick them all here. We'll update you on the standings. It's now just me and Gooch one-on-one. We have personally killed and eliminated AJ's picks. That's right. AJ's picks are no longer relevant. I'm just kidding, bro. But it is really just us now. So can't say anything else. Anyway, let's get the break. We'll come back. We'll pick the games. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Johnine right now.
talk, and you guys just say your pick, and that's it.
And we're back. Yeah, right. I know, right? Just like, hey, Scoop, how about yours? I don't know. Okay, back to you, Cliff. All right, anyway, we are back here at the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Mattawa, New Jersey. It is week 8. The NFL is back in full swing. Started off last night. Obviously, we covered enough of the Packers to last you a lifetime, but the Packers do get the win. They're 7-1. So, Gooch, you ready for this? First, let me bring up the standings, because Gooch had himself a rough day.
Yeah.
A rough week last week. There is your week 7 standings. Gooch went 3-10 as I pick up 5 games on your ass, because I'm coming back, and I told you I was coming back stronger. I'm not going to finish last, and now technically it's either yes, you're the winner, or no, you're the loser, because there is no last place anymore. There's only 2 of us, but it's 3-10 last week. I went 8-5. Overall records, Gooch is 52-54-1 pushki. I am 50 wins, 56 losses, and 1 push. So now we start with...
I also want to say
that
I didn't do that bad yet.
Oh, okay. You're starting with the Cowboys.
No, I didn't. We just didn't order them around, so you might have to.
Well, no. I mean, we're starting with the Sunday Nighter.
There we go.
We'll do it. We're here. So might as well get right into it. You're already Packer heavy and Packer pulsed out right now. Well, it's time to talk about the Cowboys. What did you use? That helmet, I thought it was all silver. I was like, all right. But anyway, so there's a lot going on with this game, because the line has shifted dramatically. The Cowboys started off this week 2-point favorites. And now they are 2.5-point dogs in Minnesota.
I have to see that the line moved. I think maybe you just might have read it wrong.
I promise you. So via Blogging the Boys, who does the spread every week and says via whatever the hell they use, whatever spread they use, it's always either DraftKings or whatever else. But it's the spread was Dallas was favored on the road. And now it's a massive swing. So now what does Vegas know that the Dallas Cowboys beat reporters, who I follow, and one of them, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on here? Is Dak Prescott not going to play? That's a thing, because they've talked about this. They've talked about resting Dak one more week in order for the long stretch of the season. Gooch, before we pick that game, how do you feel about that theory? There's a long season, right? The Cowboys are 5-1. They're in firm control of the NFC East. That's the way into the tournament, win the NFC East.
I don't think that that's at all their theory. I think, if anything, that's just them trying to hide the fact that he has a more serious injury. If they're saying that they're resting him...
Everybody's watching practice, bro. He's running around like there's nothing wrong.
Look, if they're saying that they're resting him because of load management, we'll call it in this case, then he's more hurt than they're leading on, because they're not doing that. It's simply they're not in a position. The NFC is too good. They're 5-1. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to play on the road to save Dak? You know, you're going to get a road playoff game against a good team because you don't want to hurt your quarterback.
Well,
if you're going to sit Dak, it ain't going to be in this one.
Well, that's sure. What I've been saying to a lot of people on Twitter. I said, look, if you're going to bench this guy, bench him or let him rest during the Bronco game when it's an AFC
don't
West.
Even do that.
I don't want to do it at all.
How much is Dak making?
Right. Correct.
Enough.
Don't even bring where I'm that at with it. Up. I don't think that this is should be a thing. I think Dak Prescott plays. I think for NBC's sake, Dak Prescott plays. This is the Sunday Nighter. It is Kirk Cousins, and it is Dak Prescott. Nobody wants to see Cooper Rush. I know Cowboys fans don't want to see Cooper Rush. And yes, the theory is true. The Cowboys did beat the Minnesota Vikings last year with Andy Dalton starting at quarterback. Yes, it happened. But this is a different Vikings team. This is now a different – what are you looking for?
I don't know. I'm on – this chair is stuck, but we're good.
anyway, let's get to the pick, because, again, I'm not really – happy about the line moving the way it did.
I'm not either.
I was
finna bet the Vikings money line if they were getting points.
Right. So, Gooch, I'll start with you, bro. Where are you at?
All right, Dave. So you're going to learn something here about me, right? Okay. And this is one of those situations where I've been in talking shit to you about how you don't think this way.
Okay.
Where
Go on.
Right now, you would think that I'm like pulling for the Cowboys because the Vikings are in my division. But in this case, I clearly not. I would love to see the Vikings pull this one out. I honestly was hoping that they would be getting points, because then I would definitely be taking the Vikings in this one. But it's got me questioning that, and I don't want to go against my initial reaction to seeing this. So I'm going to go with Minnesota, but apprehensively after seeing the line change.
Okay.
Let's go Vikings, baby.
Yeah, all right, that's cool for you. You're obviously 7-1, and the Vikings actually stink, so that's why you're allowed to do this. The Vikings are not they're not as good as they were last year. I think they're struggling in many departments. I think that with or without Dak Prescott, with or without him, I think the Dallas Cowboys can get this done. So I repeat, with or without Dak Prescott, the Dallas Cowboys can get this game done. because of the fact they have a complimentary running game, because of the fact they have receivers that can run some routes. Cooper Rush, you just have to be serviceable, my man. That's it. And the defense has to keep
and
playing.
And they do have a great head coach.
You're talking about shit about McCarthy again?
Yes. Yeah. I'm allowed to. It's one of those things where, like, if you know Seinfeld, anybody that watches Seinfeld, how Tim Watley converted to Judaism for the jokes. I once had Mike McCarthy as my coach, so I could openly talk shit about him forever now, right?
Anyway, I'm taking the Cowboys here, and I think they're going to win this game and move to 6-1.
I think
and
the Vikings are better than you think, though.
Listen, I've watched them play good games, and then I've watched them throw up a couple stinkers. So they're middle of the pack. The Cowboys, here's my theory. These teams are going to have to separate themselves. We are now 7-8 games into the regular season, meaning we are at the halfway point. This is where you're going to see the men separate from the boys.
This could very well be like a first-round playoff matchup.
Yes.
Right here.
Right now, the going into the week, the Cowboys are the 4, and the Vikings are the 7. So they wouldn't match up now, but it could be, right? It could be a thing. But give me the Cowboys. Give me the Cowboys in this game. I think, like Gooch, I am all for, you know, picking the Cowboys every week. And when I think they're going to win, they're going to win. And when I think they're going to lose, they're going to lose. But if you look at the Cowboys' schedule right now, I don't know. Hard-pressed to find another loss.
Honestly, part of me will admit this, Dave, right? I look at the Cowboys' schedule, and it's hard for me to find losses. And I don't think they're going to go 14-3. Or 15-2. This is one of the games that jumps out at me as like, okay, tougher game than people think on paper. And the Vikings defense is a lot better than people are giving them credit for. I think their Achilles heel is obviously Kirk Cousins. If he could play a little bit better than usual,
we'll see if he wants to test our boy Trayvon Diggs, because Diggs has an interception in every single game this year, at least one, sometimes two. So moving on, we have, oh, look, Scoop, we're right off the rip. We're going to get into your game here. As the Seattle Seahawks visit the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Seahawks are favored on the road, 3.5. I worry about this line. I don't know about this line. This line should be bigger. If all, you know, push comes to shove, the Jaguars haven't done much, but they're fighting. Scoop, give me a reason, because I know you would love to see your team win. Give me a reason why the Jaguars can win this game.
Well, one, Seahawks are at home.
What?
They are at home. Given 3.5, so basically it's a pick 'em if they're
That's my fault. That's my fault there on the home and away. So the home teams are on the right, right?
Yeah. Well, I fucked up.
Okay, that's not on me. Anyway, self producing shows. Keep going.
So yeah, so we're riding a high, first win in 20 games. I'm not sure if Urban Meyer even came back yet from England. might have hung back a little bit.
Oh my God! By the way, not to cut you off. I did see a Urban Meyer Halloween costume with an inflatable doll. Yep, so and good. That was – he's got the Jaguars, like, so coaching good. Apparel on. Oh, it's great. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, James Robinson's right now actually top five back in the league.
Stop.
No, I mean, stats-wise.
Yeah. Okay. Fantasy back.
Okay. Well, yeah, you gotta be careful there because, you know,
there's not much else going for that offense.
So they're going to run the ball.
Geno sucks.
Geno sucks. All right.
And first time the Seahawks have been 0-3 since 92.
Yeah, it's been a while. Pete Carroll's struggling over there, and I love to see Pete Carroll struggle. So go ahead, Gooch. Where are we going with this one?
I'm taking the Seahawks. The point spread is 3.5 because it's Geno Smith, but they also are just going to run the ball 75 times this game. Jaguars stink. Seattle stinks with no Russ Wilson, but they're still the Seahawks, and the Jaguars are still the Jaguars. I can't see it.
Okay.
So, it's very rare that I'll ever pick the Jaguars. No offense, Scoop.
That totally understood because the Jaguars are struggling right now and they're 2-5. I mean, I'm sorry, they're 1-5 and they don't look good. But guess what? I am going to ride the momentum here. I think momentum is a real thing. And I think after watching Seattle be completely abysmal against the Saints on Monday night. Abysmal. I don't like anything that this offense can do right now under Geno Smith. Not a fan of it. The Jacksonville Jaguars riding the high, got their win. Give me those points, man. Give me those points. So if Jason Myers wants to kick a game-winning field goal at the end of the game and the Seahawks win, congratulations, I still get this pick. So give me the Jaguars plus 3.5 in Seattle. So, are we sure this one's in the dome?
Yes, okay. I know that for a fact.
So the Saints are in the dome.
The Bucs were home, maybe favored by at least 7.
Okay, so the Bucs are in the dome right now as we move on to the Saints. Saints are 4-2 coming in against their obviously division rivals, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs are favored 4.5 on the road in this dome. So, Gooch, do you find it to be hard pressed that we just watched the Saints get the job done against Seattle in Seattle on Monday? Is that enough for you to think that they can shock the world and take out Tampa Bay? And I say shock the world because the two teams aren't close.
Well, they're definitely
the close. Record says they're close. I don't feel like they're close.
This is a huge game for both teams, really. I do like the Saints in this game getting the points. I don't know that they're going to win outright because Brady down the stretch in late in games is Tom Brady, and I'll go with Tom Brady over Jameis Winston as far as the win loss thing goes. But 4.5, I'm definitely taking the Saints 4.5 at home. They've only had one home game this year so far, mm-hmm. so that crowd's going to be electric with Tom Brady coming to town. I'm going to go with the Saints in this one.
So we have now three games picked. And we have three different opinions here. I think Tom Brady runs around with this one. I think they have a good game. I think that this game is plagued from the start. There's going to be a little bit of Jameis Winston. I can prove my old team wrong. Here we go. I'm going to do the right thing. Blah, 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 blah. Nah, it's Tom Brady. And until Tom Brady loses convincingly, and I'm not talking about the Rams game because even every team has a hiccup. Ever since then, you know, they've been beating the shit out of teams. And I think this is another one. The Saints, guess what, Gooch? Jekyll Hyde? Here comes the hide.
They broke that.
Here comes
trend.
The hide.
They broke that trend.
I think it's coming up again. Give me the Bucks -4.5. All right, the Denver Broncos back home to face the Washington football team. The Washington football team coming in 2-5. The Broncos at home, our favorite. They're 3-4 on the year after finishing 3-0, starting 3-0. They have lost four straight. Gooch, do they get off the schneid? Right now, they're favored -3 against the Washington football team.
When Denver gets to play a bad team, they win. So Washington football team, they're the biggest disappointment for me personally. I don't think anyone else expected them to be good. So I say biggest disappointment to me because I had them winning 12 games. I'll say that before Dave talks shit.
I wasn't going to even say it anymore. The Broncos are
probably going to get Jerry Jeudy back. Everybody knows how I feel about the Denver Broncos backfield. I honestly think that the Broncos are a really good team. They have a good roster. I truly believe that Vic Fangio is holding them back because of his coaching style. I understand that they have good running backs, but you got to throw the ball to those receivers sometimes, and I guess the quarterback doesn't help. But I still like Denver at home playing against a bad team. 3 points is what it should be. So
yeah, the Washington
fishy about this game.
Washington football team is a very bad team. Taylor Heineke is not living up to any of the billing. The hype is over. Like that's kind of fading out as we go. We're finding out that Gibson is hurt every week. You know, J.D. McKissick has filled in complimentary roles here and there, but I just think that offense is no good. And the defense was so highly touted going into the season. I just don't buy it anymore, man. I really don't. It's not that good. And they're as good as Chase Young is going to be. You understand? Like everybody else will play well if Chase Young can get to the quarterback. I think Teddy Bridgewater needs this shit to keep his confidence.
It would help Chase Young a little bit if somebody else would step up and take some attention off of him.
Correct.
But Montez Sweat, I guess, hasn't really been living up to his name either.
I'm riding the Broncos on this one. I think this is a get-right game for the Broncos. I don't think the Broncos are going to make any kind of noise down the stretch, and every time they do play a decent team, they're going to probably struggle, but this one is not a decent team. Give me the Broncos. So, moving on. Very good game here because it's an underrated good game because of the records. But Mac Jones is going across the nation to go play Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Now, the Chargers are 4-2. They're favored here at home, -4, over the New England Patriots, who are 3-4, coming off an absolute beatdown of the New York Jets. They scored a lot of points. Gooch, did they score too many points? Did they shoot their load on the Jets? And all of a sudden, they're going to come out flat here. How do you feel this one's going to play out?
I think it's going to be a good game. Mac Jones is starting to build some confidence. Looking at the Patriots team early, they were losing a few tough games. They lost to the Bucs. They were in that one. They lost to the Dolphins week one. They were in that one. So they're a couple wins away, a couple plays away from being 5-2 at this point. So they're really not a bad team. They beat the piss out of the Jets. The Jets are bad. They did what they should have done to them.
Correct.
Everybody has this love affair with Justin Herbert and the Chargers, and rightfully so. They're a potent offense, but I really am not sold on their defense, specifically their defense against the run. I just like the fact that the Patriots are starting to click a little bit. Mac Jones finding his way. I think he's going to be a good player. Going out west is the one thing that scares me, but I do like the 4 points. The Chargers could easily win this game, but I think it'll be by a field goal.
I think the Chargers are going to take this game, and I think they're going to take it by at least 6. I think that the Patriots might have shot off a little bit too much last week. I think that obviously the Jets are just one of the worst teams in football right now, both sides of the ball. But the Patriots, that didn't make me believe that like Mac Jones is going to turn into this world beater. I think going across the nation and going into LA, I think it's going to be a little struggle for him. despite the fact that the Chargers defense has some glaring holes, I think they're going to step up and actually win this game. And I like the number, too. I do like the number. Give me the Chargers minus the four. It's another game that me and Gooch disagree on. This is going to be one of those weeks, bro, that it's like either separates you. You're up three games on me. If you take all the ones, it's going to separate us tragically.
If we have enough games that are separate and you win half and I win half, we can still tie.
So. That's true. We'll see. Anyway, speaking of those Jets, this is a big, big number in New York. Mike White is your starting quarterback, okay? Former Dallas Cowboy third string legendary Mike White quarterback, okay? He showed some flash, you know, a little bit last week. Not enough for me to even think remotely that the Jets could be in this game. But I'll start with Gooch, see where you're at with this one. 10.5, bro. Big number against the red-hot Cincinnati Bengals.
If this spread was 30.5, I'd still take the Bengals. That's all I have to say about this game.
Okay.
Literally.
Okay. No comment there. I am in agreement with you. I think that there's nothing that the Jets can do right now to convince me that they're anything good on either side of the ball. They've given up a lot of points. They've taken a beating last week, and I don't know if they could recover in a week's time after that beating is what I'm saying. Like, they faced a lot of media criticism. A lot of their fans are dropping off the face of the earth already. Like, when the hype is up, they're up, right? But when it's down, the team just, they spiral. They spiral quick, and I think they continue to spiral against a very, very good Cincinnati Bengals team, and I will say that. Let me go on record now and say that the Bengals, once they win this game and move to 6-2 on the year, the Bengals are going to be, to me, the favorite to win the AFC North. That's where I think the Bengals could be after a beatdown of the Jets. Another game that, oh my God, the spread is just absolutely ridiculous. As far as survivor pick is concerned, a lot of people already rode with the Rams, but the Rams are 14.5 point favorites on the road against the 1-5 Houston Texans. I don't give a shit where this number is. The Texans, they ran with who? I mean, they had, like, when? You know, like, nobody. Nobody.
Jaguars week one.
That was it, bro. Like, I mean, they've come close and then they've shown fight. But then, like, you look at Madden generic coach number 3 over in Houston, which that's exactly what it looks like. Have you ever changed your coach from, like, a black guy to a white guy or a white guy to a black guy? And he looks like the guy, this guy. It's so generic. It's so ridiculous. He has no fight, no spark, no nothing. The team has zero. The Texans friggin' stink.
You know how you're looking at the injury reports every week for the teams and you're like, oh, who's hurt? With the Texans, you don't even have to look at the injury report. You look at the transaction report and see, like, okay, which four starters did they trade this week?
Right.
The Texans are losing guys every week. They're bringing up
to their own thing. They're doing this themselves.
I mean, at this point, they're doing the right thing, I think.
But they're not getting, like, big picks for these. What's good of having 9 sixth-round picks?
I'm going to explain what's good.
You package them, get up to the third, you know, like.
Money.
They don't have any.
They don't have to pay money to these players if they get rid of the contract. So when free agency comes, they could try and lure maybe somebody to come there, but I doubt that's going to work.
Side note, this could be the last game that you see Deshaun Watson in a Texans uniform, even though he's not in any Texans uniforms either.
Stop with
that. Go ahead, Scoop. You got something.
I can't wait to put that away.
Tyrod Taylor might be back this Sunday, which might change a lot of things here. He's definitely questionable.
There's my breaking news for the day, but it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't.
This is another game that if it was 30.5,
right,
I would take the Rams.
Right. Riding the Rams here, 14.5 to take out the Texans. Moving on. Very, very big game here in Indianapolis. The Colts coming off a very, very impressive, dirty, gritty win over the San Francisco 49ers in that monsoon of a vortex or whatever the frig they were calling that weather. I don't remember exactly what they were calling it. But the Colts favored at home, 2.5 over the 5-2 Tennessee Titans. This might be the game of the week. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I think so.
This is a tough one for me. The point spread is very strange. This kind of shows me that the Colts are a little bit better than people are giving them credit for, and Vegas understands that. And it also lets me know that the Titans might not be as good as advertised. I've been hot and cold on the Titans this year. I love Derrick Henry, obviously. But this Colts defense, didn't they play already this year, and the Titans kind of beat them up, right? Mm-hmm. So I can't see the Titans beating the Colts twice. So I'm going to go with the Colts. I've been betting the Colts pretty decent a lot this year, and they've won me some money. Last week I bet against them and I lost. So fool me 3 times, fool me 70 times.
He doesn't know the nursery rhyme. He doesn't know the nursery rhyme, but
it's the one that I use most, and I don't even know it.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's it.
Just use it four times.
Write it down.
Yeah. Anyway,
you write it.
We're gonna go with the Colts in this one.
Well, I'm going with the Titans. I think that Derrick Henry is still on an absolute revenge tour. When I say revenge tour, a lot of people were not writing him off, but saying that, and I was one of them. I was like, well, you know, he gets the ball way too many times, and I don't know if he's gonna get the rock a lot this year. And he has, and he has, and he has, and he has, and there's no slowing down Derrick Henry right now. And that Tennessee offense, Ryan Tannehill has the weapons. He has A.J. Brown. He has Julio Jones. He has Anthony Firkser. You can throw him into the mix because he's okay too. That offense is good. The Colts, to me, still have Carson Wentz as their quarterback. What I saw at Carson Wentz last week, yes, it was gritty, right? He pulls it out of his ass, whatever. But there was that one pass that made me say, there's Carson Wentz, that little shuffle shit. He stinks. Give me the Titans all day long. Give me the Titans to take firm control of this division. What are you looking at? There's something. Is there funny
not
joke?
Not funny.
Did I get the quote wrong?
Dak is McCarthy is pessimistic about Dak's status for Sunday.
What's pessimistic?
McCarthy.
No, what's pessimistic? Oh,
like optimism, pessimism. It's like if you're optimistic, you're hopeful. If you're pessimistic, you're Jimmy Palumbo.
So somebody actually said in the comments to break this to him live that I didn't know this.
James Rube.
Oh, Rube said that? Okay.
That's great.
Well,
it's not great that Dak's status is in question, but it's great that it's Rube. Throwing and be like,
oh, yeah,
I thought Rube. You guys were Knicks buddies.
We are Knicks buddies, but as far as his football team is concerned, the Bears are the worst. Oh, so don't give me anything. But anyway, I won't even to address that. The Cowboys are a close-knit group, okay? They won't let everything be known, all right? They don't want to tell you everything. Dak Prescott said it on the press conference against the Patriots that he said, I'll let y'all talk about this. You guys can do it, okay? Because he's not going to do it. Don't give me the whole had a great full practice yesterday and all of a sudden pessimistic. Get off that shit.
I'm about to bet that
Dak Prescott will play on Sunday night. It is an NFC game. Every NFC game they got to have. You're paying this guy all this money. He's playing in the game. I don't want to. Don't fucking ruin my Friday, bro. I was having a good day.
So if you want to bet the Vikings now bullshit. While the point spread is only 2.5, go to BetMGM.
Yeah. Right? We'll move on to the other NFC East because I don't want to talk about the freaking Cowboys anymore. I'm all shook. That's great. That's wonderful. I mean, you know what? Scoop, you want to sit here?
You like that? You like that?
Hey, I like that. Anyway, we're moving on. The Detroit Lions, okay? I'll start it off because this is the week. This is the week they get off the offer. They play the Philadelphia Eagles, in which I think the Eagles might be worse than their 2-5 record is leading on. I don't care how many times you can tell me that Jalen Hurts is showing some flashes of good and blah, blah, blah. It's because why? Because he puts up a nice little fantasy number. He is not a leader. He is not the guy that's going to win this game, and he's going to be the embarrassment of the Sunday football slate when the Detroit Lions, the 0-7 Detroit Lions, march all over this guy. And they fought in every game. This is the game they win.
Dave also told me this morning that he's about to take Philly in his survivor pool. So I'm confused. What the fuck is going on with you, bro?
I'm not taking Philly in the survivor pool because they will not win this game. They will not win this game. I like the Lions getting 3.5 at home. I think the Eagles are going to struggle. And, give me the Lions. Go ahead, Gooch. Pick the Eagles.
I'm going to take the Eagles in this one because for the first 7 weeks, it's quite obvious to me that the reason why the Eagles were struggling is because they weren't actually trying to grow as a team. They were just trying to get a foundation. If you listen to their coach, with this weird speech and
a
quote
about
we've been laying the roots and now we're a foundation.
You just put some water on it and we grow and blossom. Bro, are you kidding?
My head almost exploded. When I listened to that speech.
He lost all credibility when he wore a Beat Dallas t-shirt to his press conference. I don't mind that.
This weird shit. You got to be winning football games to talk like that,
Thank you. Thank you. You're not winning. You're 2-5. You are what your record says you are, Jimmy Palumbo.
I want to know, be a fly on the wall, or I guess there wouldn't be a wall there, but when these two weird head coaches meet at the 50 after the game, what are they going to say? They're like, I'm going to bite your kneecaps. And they're like, you can't do it. They're in the ground. They're rooted. They're like, wait, what the fuck is going on with you two? Settle down. Win a game.
Guys, how are things at home? What the frick? So you're taking the Eagles, though? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You've been riding the Eagles every week, by the way. I don't know where you're going. In
this case, it's not really riding the
another miscue here. Another miscue here. It says the Cardinals are favored in a Browns-Steelers game. But, hey, listen, shit like this happens. It's going to happen. But it is the Browns. Is that the right spread, at least, you think?
That is just disrespectful.
No. It is the right spread.
It is the right spread. Yeah. So, all right.
Browns
so,
are giving
three. So, the Browns, for all you listeners right now on the iTunes, Spotify, Google, Amazon, you don't have to watch this graphic, but the Browns are favored 3.5 at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both teams. There's a shot that Baker Mayfield plays this week, from what I gather. That makes this spread to me kind of appealing. The Steelers are winning games lately. You know, they started off rocky. Everybody's kind of like, eh, I'm not sure. Gooch, where are you going with this one? Because I'm interested. Because I know where I'm leaning, and I want to see if you're the same.
I'm going to go with the Steelers here. The Browns, Baker Mayfield is banged up. Their offense is going to struggle if he doesn't play. They might get Nick Chubb back, so that's great for the Browns, not great for Dearness Johnson, even though he'll probably get a little bit of carries. But that story is now over.
Yeah.
Not really. I'm just
so when the XFL comes back, Johnson's going to start DMing people again.
Pittsburgh's defense has been playing well, and Najee Harris is an absolute stud.
That's why I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Harris has finally found his role as a Steeler. I feel like he is the Lev Bell of the Steelers, and I think that everybody on that offense, including the coordinators, including Tomlin, they know what this kid can be. Harris is rolling right now. Give me the Steelers on the road, plus the 3.5. The number is what really got me. I think that
money line.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like the Steelers here to win this game outright. But yeah, so anyway, another abysmal game. The Bills are getting home. One of those games that Gooch might say for a third time, if the spread was 30, you would still take it. The this Bills morning, if 14. The spread was
40 and a half, I'd still take it.
So here's my theory about this. So it's for those who are listening, it's the Bills favored by 14 points at home against the 1-6, Miami Dolphins. I think there's a lot more going on with the Dolphins than anybody thinks. And I think it has a lot to do with the confidence in Tua. And I think that even though he's confident and he's come out and say, I'm confident, to me, there is no confidence. And once you have this discussion and this rumor of bringing in the next big thing to play quarterback, this whole team's going to be in disarray. I think it's going to be a long stretch for the Dolphins to find themselves another win. As far as the numbers concerned, I think the Bills just pound them again. They beat them, 35-0 the other week, 2 weeks ago? Yeah. I think they do it again.
6 months from now, you're going to see Brian Flores back with the Patriots.
Yeah, Bills might come all back. It's rough. So the Bills to take that one out. Two more games on the slate here. The Chicago Bears, somehow, someway. Now, this one is tricky, okay? This one's a little... I don't understand. Rube is listening and watching.
I don't
know
where they're getting any of their faith in the 49ers at this
point. That's where I'm trying to figure out. Like, it's Jimmy Garoppolo playing quarterback. They're on the road in Chicago, right? And somehow, some way, the 49ers coming off a loss, a bad loss, have you. And bad loss being that it's just ugly, right? They're favored by 4.5. Oh, I'm sorry, 4, right? I don't know about this. Justin Fields is not like an incompetent quarterback. And I feel like this is the game to get right for him. How do you feel, Gooch?
The only reason why I'll say that the Bears might have an issue in this one is because the same reason why I think they'll have an issue in any game, and it's their fucking head coach. I think Justin Fields has potential to light up this defense. The 49ers secondary isn't good. Allen Robinson has been playing really bad, and I wouldn't say he's playing bad, but the Bears receivers just haven't gotten involved
yet.
I'm looking for an Allen Robinson show here. I think Allen Robinson is due for a breakout, much like I said Robert Woods was a while back.
Oh,
it's Allen Robinson's game in this one. I don't think that they have an answer for him in the 49ers secondary, and the quarterback play, the coaching decisions by the 49ers, just like the personnel they bring in, they don't have the personnel to run the offense that they're running. Ayuk hasn't been anything. They need Kittle to run the offense the way that they want to run it, with running the ball and pounding it out. Pause. But
yikes.
I'm not sold on the 49ers. They haven't shown me anything outside of the first 2 weeks of the season. And even then, they were blowing Detroit out and they came back on. I forget who they beat. The Philly game.
Pause. I was going to say pause.
The Philly, I almost made a terrible joke. But okay. I won't. You about to burn some calories.
All right.
That's Dave Sonegai's song. You sang it to him today.
Serenade. I didn't go to the gym today, by the way.
Well.
Feeling good.
So anyway, I went 3 days in a row yesterday remember the point that I was making. But the 49ers, I don't believe in them. And the 4 points is a little sketchy to me. Like, why the 49ers favored 4 on the road against anybody? So I'm going to go with the Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears too, but I'll make two bold predictions here. One being that the Bears are going to win this game by 10 or more. Okay, I think they're going to have one of those games where they play very well. And with that, with the Bears winning and the 49ers dropping to 2-5 after this loss, RIP starting quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo as the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. This is it.
I think it might already have been RIP on him
this
if
is
it wasn't for
but this is it.
The injury to Lance.
2-5. If Lance is cleared to play next week, Trey Lance will be your starting quarterback of the 49ers. Because look, when you look at that NFC West, if you're 2-5, you are done. You are absolutely done in that division. Okay. Even at 3-4, if they win this game, I still think they're done.
I think
done.
It's fair to say that they're done. Anyway,
it's going to be tough sledding going forward. But I think that next week we're going to see the start, the emergence of Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's the kicker, right? The biggest kicker of them all. If the Niners lose this game, right, and they feel like Trey Lance is indeed their future, can you see Jimmy G moved before Tuesday's trade deadline?
If anybody is out there looking for a solid backup quarterback, then yes. But nobody's trading for Jimmy G to save the franchise at this
for a six-round pick also. That's it.
Yeah, like you're not getting anything for him.
I'm just saying. I mean, if they want to move him, they can move him. But anyway.
All the value was on Jimmy G preseason, if there was any at all.
Correct. This is a big game. We'll round it out with this, only because this has very big division implications. Now, the Falcons have started off, they started off really crappy, right? And I was saying that they were one of the worst teams in football. Now they've rolled off a couple wins here and there. They're winning games. They're 3-3. They're home now. They're favored at home at, you know, minus the three. You get the three for being home, so it's almost like a pick 'em. But the bigger story is how the Carolina Panthers started off 3-0, and now they're 3-4, right? So now they're reeling. Nobody can catch over there. The only one that has promise is DJ Moore, and even he's probably getting frustrated. Chuba Hubbard is not doing what I need him to do fantasy-wise, right? This whole team is in disarray. I'll start with this one. Give me the Falcons at home here. And just to continue the trend of the Carolina Panthers being absolutely exposed of being not a great football team. Give me the Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons defense is playing way better than they started the season playing, and they have some weapons on that offense. Calvin Ridley starting to play a little bit better. Kyle Pitts came into his own. In the game that Ridley was out, Kyle Pitts really showing what he was capable of doing, and then now with Ridley back, you saw Pitts take over. Cordarrelle Patterson has probably been the surprise player of the season, and I know that there's a lot of talk about comeback players or most improved. I don't know which of the two that he fits under the category, but Cordarrelle Patterson is definitely going to win an award this year for something because what he's doing is incredible. Incredible.
I think he just found his niche, you know, because for a while we're like, is he a receiver?
That's another one of those words where depending on how you're using it in what context, niche, if you're talking about what you're doing on social media.
Are you saying there's two different
pronunciations? No, I'm saying that there's one pronunciation, but people say it differently, like envelope and envelope, depending on how you're saying it. Push the envelope. Give me the envelope, right?
Yeah.
And then niche, like how you just used it.
You know what I also get
bothered
by?
You almost used niche because it sounded better the way you were saying it.
Yeah,
but anyway.
There's other words like that. No, there's other words that really bother me like that. Like when people say, just so you know, the color of this background is orange, not orange. I hate that.
That's like a Florida thing.
The background of this broadcast. This guy's looking behind you. Like, it's black.
Yeah, I'm like David.
Are you colorblind?
It might be. I don't know. But it's orange, not orange. I don't like the orange people. And crayon, not crayon.
I say crown.
Like officially?
Yeah, crown.
This is why you're not here. This is why I can't tolerate that. That's blasphemy.
How about water?
What, instead of water?
Yeah, water.
Is there a difference between fairy and fairy? Like a fairy.
Yes.
Like, flapping your wings, like, fairy. Like
spelling and everything.
No, but saying it.
Fairy.
So you
like if you ride the ferry, it's not fairy.
It's a ferry and a fairy. It's the same thing.
Nope.
No, it's not, same Scoop.
Absolutely not.
Same thing.
Scoop.
Terrible.
There's a fairy, like a fairy.
Like you.
Yes.
Like you, right? Or there's a...
I was talking about...
Damn it.
Oh,
cancellation. Anyway. And then there's a ferry, like the Staten Island ferry... is F-E-R-R-Y.
I don't know how to spell it. It just sounds the same to me.
I'm not going to go ride the Staten Island ferry.
So Dave
ferry.
Is colorblind and Scoop is deaf. Right? And I'm just stoned. So that's my...
Jesus excuse. Christ. What's wrong with you people? Not even the same... Yeah, somebody just said it. Not even the same word. like, come on there, Scoop. Jesus Christ.
I understand it is not the same word. It just sounds the same to me.
Well, somebody said, I'm now happy I joined in for this. So this is the these are the tragic conversations that have happened as we wrap up the NFL week slate. There are so many more of those, you know? I mean, like people are like, oh, you know, you can say it multiple ways. Nah, man, there's correct ways to say words, and then there's word that you're wrong. I can't believe you thought that they were the same thing or sound the same.
Listen, go get an orange and get out of here.
Right away. On it. Anyway.
Guys, are more games?
Well, you could do that, but you might get AIDS, Dave. I mean, I don't know why I even whispered that.
Yeah, I don't know why you read that.
Why'd I read that one on the air?
You know, we could have just left that one for
I'm not really sure interweb. Where that one was going, but that is the week eight. Now I'm all flustered. Week eight NFL slate. If you are going to bet these games, please do it responsibly, okay? Don't be a schmuck. Don't chase the money. But if you're going to chase your own money, go on BetMGM. There's a link on our website, chopsportsmedia.com. Click on Jamie Foxx, register, deposit. Make it rain. Like, do your thing. Just don't lose. And I mean, look, we have nothing to do with you losing. But at least if you want to ride with us, as far as our picks are concerned, you can do that. If you want to go check out the sauce, you can go check out him. He's relatively good at what he does. What, we're getting more
you
stuff.
You said you wanted to ride to the Staten Island Ferry.
It never ends.
I think I know that guy.
It's Shine.
No, the Staten Island Ferry.
Oh. There's a person? There's an actual person?
No, Dave. That was a joke.
Oh, shit. Oh, anyway, big news here from Chop Sports, at least. We announced yesterday that we had a new neighbor coming in with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. We're also approved. That's right. Your boys, Starch and Gooch, are going to make sure kids graduate college. Oh, okay?
I was confused. I was like, what are you talking about?
No. We're talking about Ramapo, baby.
Anything in my life ever.
Ramapo College has agreed to use Chop Sports as one of their internship programs in which college kids can now get credits by working with us. So I think that's badass. I think it's very pat on the back ski.
Bro, talk about first of all, if you know anybody that's looking for an internship in sports, this is I would love to be my intern.
Right. That makes sense. I would love to work for me, which I am
already.
Come
here and get college credits to do it. Like, it's going to be fun. You know, as far as internships goes, you'll learn some stuff, but you're going to have fun doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I did my internship with the New York Giants. You know, I didn't make a dollar there, you know, but it was a lot of fun. You meet the players. You know, you're involved with everything in the game day
also,
operations.
Fuck Brookdale because they turned us down.
Wow. Yeah, like, bro. Brookdale, what's the deal, dude? Like, all that, and that was quick, too. Like, I submitted it to, like, six colleges.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Right away.
By the way, no. And I was like, oh, okay, Brookdale. That's why you're a community college, and that's why nobody likes you. But anyway, well, we'll go with that. We'll end with that. We hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. It is Halloween, after all. Be sure to dress up. Eat some candy. I know Gooch is dressing up. I'm sort of dressing up. I you know what the scariest thing I might be for Halloween? Is a father of two. That's a scary thought, man. And that's
wild stuff.
Coming to a house near me, I might have my son prior to Tuesday.
I was thinking to myself, like,
still haven't named the guy.
I know you're going to be here on Monday, but being that it's so close and there's a C-section, I'm not thinking.
I mean, wow, you're just getting real
like
deep.
November, you can't give the November 2nd date out, like, oh yeah, and then everybody knows or they don't. I don't even know.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, I quit. I'm done with this conversation. I just gave away way too much information. But no, I just didn't know how to do the send off. I'm like, I'm gonna see Dave on Monday, I think, but it could go
Right. It could go down.
Happen. You don't get to decide these things sometimes.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, it's
so Dave.
I don't know, man. We'll talk, but as far as on the air is concerned, yeah, maybe this might be my last one for a little bit, about a week. I don't know. We'll see. I would love to come back and talk about the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott winning on Sunday night, but we'll see about that. But yeah, man, it should be an interesting weekend. We are on baby watch 2021.
Maybe the Cowboys will get in on that Jimmy G action.
You really just like the feel good vibes are just leaving the room.
The deadline is Tuesday.
The deadline is Tuesday. You're right. And they do need a backup, not named Cooper Rush, but it is what it is. Anyway,
only going to cost you a sixth rounder.
Oh, that's it. And about $48 million a year, or whatever the hell Garoppolo makes. What?
According to the Oxford English Dictionary, fairy and fairy sound the same.
Doesn't matter, because you know what? Oxford, you're wrong too. Okay? You are absolutely wrong. Absolutely. Well,
according to the citizen of New Jersey, it fucking doesn't. All right? Simple as that.
Nothing. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you guys on Monday. Good luck with your NFL picks. Good luck with your NFL teams. Good luck with all. Just good luck with the weekend. Enjoy your Halloween. Be safe. Have fun. Good with that, Coach? Nothing else?
Oh, man. I had another good one.
I'm done.